flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You said on Saturday that you hear the fans and some of the chants. Does that affect you?
No, for me, it's all about the guys in the locker room. And it's all, look, they're disappointed in the record. I understand that. And look, even with you guys in the media, I understand what your job is, and that's okay. My thing is, it's always about the team, and it's about winning football games.
Are you concerned or worried about that this could be your last game on Sunday?
No, for me, it's all about just focusing on the Bills trying to win that game.
I was Gerard Mayo yesterday, not the only one being asked about his job security. It's Jones and Keith here on WEEI. High noon as we usher in the new year with all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. I'd be a little nervous about that job security.
Yeah. Now, we don't know what his contract is, right?
No.
He's going to get paid all of it.
Yeah.
So maybe he's not as worried as some people would be.
Yeah, no, he's not going to get hired somewhere else and get all of his money. No.
No,
he'll be out of a job in the
Crafts. Hot commodity?
The Crafts will have to pay two head coaches. Here's a serious
question.
The
Jets would look at him?
Would anybody even hire him as a defensive coordinator?
I know.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so.
That's crazy.
Is it?
No, but I'm saying.
You seen the defense this year?
But that'd be a crazy reason to keep him. If Robert Kraft looked at it that way and goes, this guy wouldn't get hired as a coordinator if we fired him.
No, the Bruins fire head coaches, and those guys have a job the next hour. if the Patriots fired Mayo,
it's a good point.
Yeah,
he wouldn't even get a coordinator job.
No,
he's never had one.
I don't think he would.
So it's unbelievable that they're not, I don't think, going to move on from Mayo. But the hot seat is on fire. I don't know if we can get this up on Twitch.
How about me? I'm running the shop now.
Keith is...
I'm in on Grok.
In the week and a half off, Keith is in the AI lab.
I am.
And created quite an image of Gerard Mayo today.
I said I wouldn't do it. I wanted to do... Yeah, if you go to my Twitter, Terp, it's at Keith21. I just went in the shop, dialing up while I'm in traffic, and I got Gerard Mayo on a hot seat, a literal hot seat.
And it's hot.
The seat is on fire.
I think it's a good visual description of what he's dealing with.
I've decided to embrace the robots.
I like that.
My kids got two robots for... Look at that.
Oh, there you go. That is a hot seat.
Gerard Mayo on a hot seat.
He looks like the Human Torch.
Yo, yeah, that seat's on fire. But he's still pretty chill about it. He's like, that's me. That's basically like the This Is Fine meme with the guy in the house on fire drinking a coffee.
He looks angrier than the This Is Fine meme.
Yeah, he does.
He doesn't look like he thinks it's fine.
But he's like trying to pretend like, I'm not really on fire. Yeah, you're on fire.
Nah, you're on fire, dude. The hot seat is on fire.
Speaking of AI, you know what my kids got for Christmas?
I don't.
Furbies.
Oh.
These things, they don't shut up. They're like back and forth. They're hungry all the time.
Those things making a comeback?
I think so. At least in my house, they are.
Is a Furby like a...
Looks like a Mogwai.
Got it.
From Gremlins. Oh, I was thinking, looks just like a Mogwai, where I feel like there's some copyright infringement.
What was the little video game? Like the Tamagotchi or whatever?
It's Game Boy?
No. Like where you had to keep the animal alive? It's not one of those.
No, it's like a little animal.
What were those called?
That's Tamagotchi.
Tamagotchi.
No, this is...
Look, oh, there's a that's a Furby.
How about Terp finding the Furby in a second? He had that ready to go. He had that in his favorites.
Terp's like, my retirement depends on these.
Yes, yeah, so
my collection of Furbies.
CeCe and Georgie both got Furbies. They talk to each other. They like dance. They speak their own language, but also our language. They're great. They're magical creatures.
They came out what, like 20 years ago?
I think so. I remember
we had one.
These are Beanie Babies to Terp, I'm sure.
Yes,
Furbies.
They're old, but like. A month ago, CeCe was like, I really want a Furby. And we're like, really? Okay.
Like, we had one and we purposely, like, tried to, like, see how far we could get it to, like, humanize it.
They're human.
Right. They started coming to life, and then it was my brother-in-law and one of my brother's friends caused it to flatline.
Really?
It literally flatlined because they kept, like, clapping in its face.
Oh, it didn't like that.
It didn't like it, and it went, whoa, and then went, boom. I right-hand up to God. Right. So we had to take the batteries out, which basically reset the whole
thing. That's a whole new thing.
We made so much progress with it, and these pains in the ass just, like, gave the poor thing a heart attack by startling it, by clapping at it.
You just got to give them pizza every once in a while, and then let them sleep. Like, they chill out.
Right,
they sleep.
That's all.
But what's crazy is they can work together, right? And, like, one of them becomes the leader.
Okay.
You guys are going to be murdered in a month.
Because they show up, like, the same, right? Like, you get them, you're like, hey, these are the same things. Yeah, but then, like, once they start communicating, one of them becomes the alpha.
Yeah.
And right now, they just go on and on and on.
Twitch is saying they're Chinese spy devices, Keith. So look out for that in the Keith household.
So is your cell phone.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Get in line, Furby.
So is your TikTok account.
The whole thing.
617-779-7937. You can jump in on a variety of topics, Furby's included.
Yep.
Mayo not the only one talking about his job security?
No.
I read a snippet of Alex Van Pelt earlier today. I want to read the full.
There's more?
I want to read the full answer about his job security.
Please.
The question was, when teams only win 3 games, there are questions about job security.
No doubt.
How do you view that at this point? Do you expect to be back next year? Is it a distraction? So that's a lot of questions in the question.
Wow.
Alex Van Pelt. No, this is a business. We all signed up for this. When you win 3 games, it's tough, obviously. The thing I can hang my hat on is that this team played hard. Again, debatable.
The whole time?
And there's not been any game where they have not put out their full efforts. Really? I thought the Cardinals game.
Saturday?
I thought the Chargers game. Yeah. He said that's impressive.
Yeah, it is.
I've been around teams that were out of the playoffs and just kind of cruised to the end. He said, we're going to try to finish strong. We started fast.
Fast? They won a game.
They won one game. That's a fast start?
Well, they won a third of their games week one.
That's a good point. So. That was my message to them. And with a win this season is how we started. Let's finish strong with a win at home in front of our crowd, who loves this coaching staff, as we saw last
Saturday.
Yeah,
they're on board. They love the whole operation.
Whatever happens after that, we'll see. That's ominous. I'd love to be back. I really like the organization.
Sure.
I like our guys.
Yeah.
I think there's stuff to build on there. But again, that's out of my control.
We both have defended him throughout much of the year. Early on, weren't the biggest fans. I mean, he was the 13th choice and all that stuff. But grading it compared to the other coaches, he's been the best one. But he was fired the second Jonathan Kraft was seen on TV saying the play calling's horrible.
Yep.
How can you bring that guy back?
You can't.
You can't. And you're either going to try to protect Mayo, in which you have to fire both coordinators, or if you don't fire, to me, he's gone either way. Whether he should or shouldn't be, I guess, is more of a debate, and people we can discuss that. But you can't keep him with Mayo, because then you're not making really any changes. But you also can't, if they both go, aren't you bringing – or you're not going to fire Mayo and keep Van Pelt, I don't think, either. That seems odd. Like, you're going to either do the big teardown and, like, hey, fans, we heard you loud and clear. We're changing everybody. Or you can't keep him and then tell the head coach, like, well, you got to keep this guy as your OC. He's like, wait, what? Like, I can't pick my staff?
Right.
So now you're putting that guy behind the eight ball to start his career.
So, to me, Van Pelt and Covington are gone. Wolf is probably back. Mayo, if I had to guess, is probably back. I wouldn't do it. And, Bedard will play the clip again. I think he said 60 to 65% he's back. That's low for a beat writer.
Yeah.
And you got guys like this. I read you Curran earlier today, ratcheting it up, putting it on the crafts and saying, all right, it's here. No more doublespeak. What are you going to do? Now's the time to make a decision, meaning Monday. to actually announce it. They're probably making the decision now. Here's what Reese wrote on Sunday, the day after their loss to the Chargers, which was embarrassing on a number of levels, right? They say they're going to start Antonio Gibson. They start Ramondre Stevenson. Keon White says changes have to be made before the game. Mayo spends time after the game saying that's not what Keon meant. Then after the game, he says, no, 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 I stand by what I said. You have Ladd McConkey catching touchdowns all over you in that game. Lifeless effort against Justin Herbert, who you had dominated every other start when he went against Bill Belichick. Gerard Mayo couldn't figure him out. So just a disaster game.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's what Reese wrote. Team owner Robert Kraft has important decisions to make on the future of Mayo and first-year executive vice president of player personnel Elliot Wolf. So he lumps in Wolf.
Put him in there.
Like, to Reese, Wolf is not safe. It's generally out of the norm. Yes. Maybe the last time we hear that.
Yeah, but sadly.
It is generally out of the norm to move on after one season, but there also needs to be tangible evidence that things are heading in the right direction.
Yeah, I don't see it.
They did start fast, though. I heard they started fast week one.
True.
Is a week one win at Cincinnati that no one saw coming enough of a feather in Mayo's cap? I'd say no. Is
one
a 2-6 record in one score games, which include a 24-21 loss to the Bills, enough progress? As for Wolf, the best thing he's done in his first year in charge of personnel is deliver a promising quarterback in Drake May with the number 3 overall pick. He said, does that alone make him safe? The rest of the draft class has been shaky, to put it mildly, particularly at two of the team's top areas of need, receiver and offensive line. And likewise, Wolf's initial free agent class has delivered mixed results. It's the type of season that usually leads to change in some form. After Saturday's embarrassing loss to the Chargers, the chance from the home crowd, and the prospect of another half-filled stadium next week, questions about what that potential change could look like are intensifying. I think that scene, the visual on Saturday.
Yeah, that was
fire Mayo. Hire Vrabel, booing the team. Keon White again after the game saying changes need to be made. The optics of saying you're going to start Antonio Gibson, you don't bench him, you start Ramondre Stevenson. Ladd McConkey catching touchdowns on your head. Herbert dominating. That whole scene. Oh, and by the way, as you said, it's a standalone nationally televised game where Ross Tucker's ripping you. The whole country gets to watch this mess, this disaster that you are. The Crafts care about those optics. So if they're going to move on, that's as big of a factor in why as anything else. Because the only thing keeping Gerard Mayo here,
yeah,
and to a lesser degree Elliot Wolf, is Robert Kraft's pride and his stubbornness. That's it.
That's got to be it, because there's really nothing. We've tried to find something to highlight that maybe Gerard Mayo does well. We've come up empty doing that. I'm really getting annoyed by the one score game thing. It's the NFL. Take a look at every spread every single weekend. They're almost entirely all one score. Not that the game ends up being one score, but you get my point. They're all designed to be pretty evenly matched games, yeah, for the most part. So I just did a quick, I didn't do this with every team, but the next worst team right now. So the Patriots would have the number 1 pick. They're 3-13. The number 2 pick in the draft right now would go to the Tennessee Titans, who are also 3-13.
By the way,
they beat you head to head.
I don't think Brian Callahan's safe. That's a name also that's come up a lot in the last couple of weeks.
But so if you want to say the Patriots aren't the worst team, which I think most of us agree they are,
mm-hmm,
the next worst team is Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. How are they in one score games?
Do you know how many one score games they've played?
No.
8.
Wow.
Do you know what the record is?
2-6.
2-6.
With a win against?
Yes, you.
Gerard Mayo. Yeah.
But, like, everybody plays close games. Yep. If you play 17 games and you play 8 close games, quick math, you played 9 not close games. How'd you do in those games? Like you couldn't even keep it close for all those times. Like, that to me is not something to boast about. And Mayo's brought it up a couple of times. People, like, I'm not burying Reese for mentioning it, but I'm saying people have brought that up as like maybe a positive. I don't look at that as a positive at all. You're in the NFL. You have NFL players, again, varying degree of how many really deserve to be there.
Yeah.
But like, most teams play half their games close, give or take. And we could do this probably for everybody. But if New England and Tennessee both play 8 close games, I'm guessing everybody else does too.
Yeah. And so,
how many of those close games were 16 points, Drake May scores, gets 2-point conversion,
oh, the Rams
kick with 45 seconds.
The Rams game for sure.
Oh, right.
How many, like, backdoor covers were they? Yeah.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. Like, at the end, if you really watch it, does it feel like the game was within one score the whole time? It probably, that
the Rams
it.
Game definitely comes to mind in that scenario. Yep. I'd say a lot of the other ones actually probably were real close games off the top of my head. Maybe I'm missing one.
Yeah.
But that was one for sure that fits that criteria. Yeah, that's neck and neck with, well, Dan Campbell was really bad his first year, too. Because I'm tired of that one. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of Dan Campbell was bad in year one. I'm tired of the one-score game discussion. And so, no, I don't think that's a feather in Jerod Mayo's
Cleveland,
cap.
I think, quick look at it, I think is 7 one-score games, you know what I mean? Like, with a game to go. So those are the worst teams in the league. They all play close games.
Yeah. Meanwhile, you referenced this earlier. The Ramondre Stevenson thing, at the end of the day, is not the biggest deal in the world. Who you started at running back. What do I really care about that? But you don't need the unforced error of telling the flagship radio station, we're starting Gibby. We're going to bench Ramondre
Stevenson.
Didn't tell
Gibby, though.
Didn't tell him, and then you start Ramondre Stevenson? Like, that's just embarrassing,
weird,
and it's completely unforced.
It is.
Antonio Gibson was asked about this after the game. Here's what he had to say.
We'd heard possibly that you would be the starting running back today, and then Ramondre gets the first snaps there. Was there any confusion? What were you told before the game?
I was told nothing all week about me starting, so that wasn't even on my mind. I had no type of feelings towards that. We did the same thing we've been doing. Manja got his snaps. I got my snaps.
So here's
okay.
Here's where Mayo really is going to lose his job if he loses his job. And I think it's more likely he's back. I wouldn't bring him back. But if you're asking me what I think actually happens, Kraft won't move on from him after 1 year. He won't. But if he does, it's because he's losing the locker room. Like, you're listening to Gibson. You're listening to Keon White. It's because he's losing. He lost the fan base a long time ago.
It's tough.
Fan
it's
base is way out
sell.
On him.
Yeah.
He has lost the team.
No, he has. And there's nothing that he can do outside of winning a ton of games, which is going to be at least a year away. Like, there's nothing even he can do in the offseason where Mayo stock goes up. If they keep Elliott Wolf and he signs a massive free agent and, you know, gets a million draft picks and whatever, like, his stock can at least go up before they take the field. Mayo's can't. So, like, if you keep him, you're going to go another 9-month cycle where everyone's like, get rid of this guy. Why is he here? And then as soon as the season starts, every loss that piles up is just, why are you wasting your time?
And
people have completely turned on him, whether if they even had his back to begin with.
And he's still going to do media in the meantime, which means
yeah,
you
not
know
as
he's,
much, though.
You know he's going to screw something up. No, it won't be as much, but you know he'll screw something up.
You feel like more wins next season than this past season? Like, is that?
I do feel that way.
Okay. So we got you on you record.
You got me on record.
Yeah.
Right, that we're going to win more than 4 games.
Yeah.
I'm on record.
You're on record?
Absolutely.
All right, good. All right, good. All right.
That narrator.
Even, that doesn't even sound like the
they
same
did
guy.
Not.
No, they did not. No, it's officially dead. That dream is officially dead.
Yep.
He doesn't even sound like the same guy anymore.
No, I'm telling you, he's aging like a president. You know, they take the before and after photos, and you're like, what was that, 20 years? You're like, no, that was 4. Like, that's what he's. It's 1 year of him being a head coach.
So, if you had to guess, is he back? Not should he be.
Despite
is he back?
All of our reasons to say he shouldn't be, my guess is he will be. I think you're more likely to see both coordinators gone, and I don't know. Wolf, I'm kind of back and forth on, but I think more likely both coordinators gone, and then they just try to sell it to you as that.
Is there anything Mayo can do to save his job, like change the Kraft's mind? If they were going to fire him, is there any way he could salvage his job or vice versa? Is there any way where you go into the final week saying we're going to keep him and then he loses it? Is there anything he can do to lose the job this weekend?
I think if it looks like the last game, maybe. You know, I think it's weird because we're in this spot where the fans, you know, across the board are going to be rooting for a loss, right? Obviously, the players and the coaches are going out there trying to win because that's how that's what your mentality is. So it is in a weird spot. I think if the game, and I know Josh Allen's not going to, you know, play or play the whole game, if it maps out like 2 weeks ago against Buffalo, that's best case scenario.
Yeah.
You lose, you played hard, it was buttoned up, you didn't have a million penalties, it looks like you coached well, competitive game, take your number one pick and move on to the offseason. But if it's crazy and there's just all kinds of penalties again, or if there's like weird stuff with who's starting, who isn't starting, and you just get boat raced at home, then it's like Mitch Trubisky, then that's going to be tough.